Hi, and welcome to Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman, Headmaster, and this is a jam-packed end-of-year episode. I'm actually here with Design Director for Colour Me, Kate Reid. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Nathan. Great to be here.
Colour Master Janine Simons. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Nathan.
And last but of course not least, Design Director for Styling, Wade Blackford.
Hi, Nate. Great to be here today.
It's great to have you all back on Conversations with Kevin. In this episode, I wanted to have a candid chat about quite a few things. We'll do it quickly, it'll be exciting, and it'll help you move your business forward. We wanted to talk about the key to business longevity, about change and connection in this new landscape, the biggest learning that we've actually all been through this year, how we potentially have changed, and how we can create loyalty. And some other things. I mean, let's call this a bit of a futures episode. We're going to focus on client futures, salon futures, and business futures. We know that in times of uncertainty, consumers crave a sense of control over their lives. And brands, as brands in salons, we can deliver the information and options that they need to feel like they're in the driver's seat a little bit. It's about clarity, transparency, flexibility, and other options to make decisions that suit their individual needs. Having endured the lockdowns, we're eager to break out of the confines and explore, play and embrace, you know, novel experiences, both virtually and the real physical world. And I, for one, hope that this is the last time we ever reference a pandemic in a podcast. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we want to start with a little bit of salon stuff, like the year that was, the end of 2021, which is where we are. I don't know what reports you look at, but we've seen quite a few things going on. And let's first qualify this by saying both Janine and I are still actively engaged in big salons. But one of the first kind of future trends we wanted to look at was the rise of the single stylist versus the salon. Janine, what would you say to that?
Yeah, absolutely. This has definitely been one of the biggest and growing changes for our industry, I think, Nathan. The creation of the shared working space within a salon for independent stylists, whereby they've eliminated the risk of taking on a large lease, which arguably is one of the scariest and most committed parts of going it alone when you're setting up a salon business. Mm. And it has allowed stylists to become their own business or single stylist, independent stylists. So as salon owners, I think, you know, we need to look to evolve our current business models and maintain our businesses. We need to sort of provide more of this vibe in our own salons. So I'm talking mm-hmm. about sort of providing greater income earning ability, autonomy of work conditions, and allowing our stylists to have that one-to-one connection, giving our team all the benefits, if you like, of a booth renter or a single stylist entrepreneur lifestyle. But still, they're still getting that exceptional support from your leadership, education, and mentoring. I'm actually mm-hmm. watching this movement with great interest. There's a few factors such as, you know, the isolation and managing all of your own client communications and having to train assistants, to name a few, that are really going to, you know, that the salon business model provides. And I think that about those pain points, the single stylist will face them. And if we can kind of take them away, that also makes us become the business that we want to in these changing tides of time. So with, I'm seeing with vaccine mandates, stronger salon regulations and the restrictions, it is more likely that a lot more stylists will look to become independent to create their own spaces. So I can see an absolute opportunity there in the untrained or training to evolve our current business models of the traditional salon and or providing independent stylist services from within our teams.
Mm, but, I mean, Janine, there's enough room for everything, isn't there, in the industry?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Not everybody has an entrepreneurial or solo spirit. So there are always going to be stylists that want to be within a team in a salon environment.
Mm. I think, like, Kate, I'll throw you in at the end of this, but I think that millennials do have a more entrepreneurial mindset. They want to be their own boss, don't they?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Millennials, we've seen, want to work independently, but I think that ability to create a workspace with connection as well is really important for those millennials. So to, if they are independent, you know, they're working independently within spaces and they're still part of a larger community, which is really interesting on the different business models that people have come up with to cater for all of those needs and still keep a major connection within that independent feeling environment.
Mm, great. And Wade, what would you say to that, the rise of the single stylist?
Yeah, I think definitely with the rise of the single stylist, like I think social media has a lot to do with that as well. Those social media platforms, they give people a bit more of an entrepreneurial mindset because they can dive in and actually create who they want to be, whether they work in like a really big salon with a big team around them and supporting them, or whether they're a single stylist. When they're using social media, they're able to put out there, you know, what they stand for and who they want to be. And that kind of fosters that entrepreneurial mindset.
Mm. Yeah, it's very true. I mean, every individual is their own brand nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's just the way that the world is moving. And I think it's really come to the fore this year.
And a shout out to Session Salon Connect, which is about the business of branding. Look it up. Ask your distributor.
Nice one.
I'm Kevin Murphy and Colour Me Education. So, Janine, back to you. How do salons need to move forward in this new market? You know, from the point of view of a salon owner.
Yeah. So there's a few, you know, there's a few ways, I think, obviously, a few key things that we can look at there. So one is definitely embracing technology. You know, when I talk to a lot of salon owners, often they're scared or nervous to use technology in their businesses. So I think we should be seeking that out and, in fact, looking at what is happening out there so that we can use technology to enhance or change the way our business operates and, or more importantly, change the way our clients interact or connect with our salon business. Another key thing for me is just accepting that team members might have more than one job. I think historically it was all about being employed by one person, and salon owners certainly weren't open to stylists freelancing somewhere else on the side or having another job, you know, of a weekend. So I think, you know, encouraging our teams to create other income streams and really leverage their superpowers to reach their full potential as people is definitely a move forward for our industry.
Great. And you, I mean, you know, in terms of like we had that lockdown in Sydney, and then when we opened up, we took the time to really look at the lifestyle of the staff so that people, you know, really enjoy their job and enjoy their time with clients. And we kind of adopted a different, a flexible mindset about clients in, clients out, and it wasn't so frenetic. So what would you say to lifestyle, Janine?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was an excellent chance to really look at all of those things and understand it a bit more. So, you know, flexible salon hours where we're potentially employing more people across less hours is sort of the way forward. And taking from the concept of the rising single stylist, looking to build it into our salon team cultures with a real emphasis on lifestyle and an empathy for a team and the life that they actually live outside why they work for us. So some of those things are like reduced hours, charging more money. For example, one of the things I can see changing is instead of a salon having a fixed price salon menu, it's allowing our stylists, if you like, to have their own individual pricing menu within our business bubble so that they can create their own individual earning power. Definitely the new generation of hairdresser, they have a really strong idea on the life they want to lead or live, and our salon environments really need to rise to meet this.
And fair enough too. What would you say, Wade and Kate?
I think I'd just jump in and say that, you know, we're an industry where we kind of have to move with the times with what we do in the salon, as in when we're doing hair and stuff, and we've been really great at that over the years. And I think we just have to take that mindset into business as well and moving with the times with business. And, you know, I think Janine really nailed it before when she talked about leaning into new technologies and new ways of doing things. And I think probably we're really great at doing that when it comes to what we do with hair. And then salons just need to lean into that a bit more when it comes to the business side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see today, talking about lifestyle, you know, a lot of salons are talking about closing Saturdays, and they were, you know, the busiest day when I was an apprentice was Saturday, and you were just swept off your feet. And then, you know, your quieter days were your Mondays and Tuesdays. You know, I think the whole how people even want to come and have their service has changed as well. So I think there's so many things to think about here as a business owner. Besides, you know, just doing great hair.
Well, I think that's a really good segue, Kate, into kind of the next type of thing, because people now work from home a lot, and even if they do need to return to office, people are rarely returning to office 5 days a week anymore. So clients have flexibility to come and get their hair done during the working day. What they probably need is a quiet room. I've been thinking about this quite a lot. If I was to build a new salon today, I like an airline lounge. would put a quiet room in where clients could actually go and work while their colour was processing and have that private time. I mean, I wonder what you all think of that idea.
Mm, great idea.
Yeah, and that was something I had put down, Nathan, as well. You know, salons are looking today to converting spaces into cross-usage, so workspace for clients where they can take those private phone calls. You know, you're noticing as well salons, you know, one of their cliche quotes is they want to create an Insta-worthy environment, so it feels like a retreat. Anywhere you take a picture, it looks amazing, and they can really escape all of their worries. So combining all of these in one, so, you know, the quiet room is a great idea on where they can go and take and make phone calls while they're having their hair done.
It's great. I mean, Kate, you in the salon, you're always doing a million things at once, aren't you?
I love it, you know. And, you know, where we go in Sydney, there's a great big table at Fuchs Hair and you can set your computer up and you can work there. It's, you know, it's so great. But I love the ability to have that cross usage in space today.
Yeah, I think there's a big movement to like fun and playfulness on behalf of brands, and that can be achieved a few ways. It could be the in-person experience of how they are in the salon. It could be the theatre of the hand towel. It can be whatever, but we need to give clients permission to feel joy as you know, we kind of move on into a new world. I'm so glad we're not saying navigating the new normal anymore and that we're actually just getting on with it.
Living it.
Right? But I think that the clients are going to, you know, rely on us. They rely on us to give them great hair, but also escape their worries, stresses, their boredom, I think, as well. So I think that raises some really pertinent points for anyone, be they in a satellite suite or a traditional type of salon, as to kind of how the client's going to change. They're going to be more flexible. They're going to demand a bit more flexibility as well. I mean, my baby boomer mother is staying with me at the moment and she can't believe that everyone in the salon only works 4 days. Mm. She sits there at night going, but they only work 4 days. And I'm like, yes, mum, they work 4 days. Oh, well, really, you know. And it's that kind of mindset of the new generation. But I suppose the thing we're not explaining is they may have a side gig. They might be doing this. They might be doing wigs for drag shows. They might be doing whatever. Like the millennials do have that entrepreneurial mindset, don't they?
And you know what else? It's okay just to be watched selling on Sunset. Like it is just okay to pick whatever you want to do on those 3 days that you choose not to be in the salon.
That's right. That's right. Okay, Janine, I'm going to throw you in. I want to talk about like the key to business longevity from the salon owner point of view.
Yeah, I can see a couple of things here. So definitely e-commerce, number one. So, you know, if you're not online and online in any capacity, you definitely need to get into that space. I mean, websites and being present on social media is an absolute given. If you're not there, you're no one. But I think moving forward, it's sort of creating creating new e-commerce kind of connection points and sales ability. So, for example, an easy one is creating an online store, so online shopping for hair products or tools and all those sort of things. But subscriptions and memberships, I think, are a really good way forward too. Like, you know, the membership model actually works really well for salons, so that's certainly something I'm looking at for 2022. Then another key thing is the hybrid working model. So what I mean by the hybrid working model is being able to work in here, and we've touched on this already, but also being able to work out there. So a real diversification in service offering. So not just thinking about standing behind the chair, but where else can we do what we do great, or what else do we do great that we can do elsewhere. So, yeah, I think those are two key things that stand out for me to kind of keep your business strong and sustainable.
Now, Janine, of course, you're a millionaire, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you...
Millions and new millions.
Janine, I need you to tell listeners the Bitcoin story.
Oh, the Bitcoin story. Sure thing. So, yeah, well, so I have a techo husband, which is very handy at the best of times. So he actually saw Bitcoin coming very early on. I'm talking probably as long ago as maybe 6, 7, 8 years, I suppose. So we personally made an investment in that area, but I also started to take it as a currency in the salon. So I did it initially as a shameless kind of marketing campaign just to get some press out of it, which worked wonderfully.
I bet. So you would have been all over television,
wouldn't
you?
Yeah. There was radio, you know, print. I had some guy that came in that was trying to live for a year solely surviving on Bitcoin. So one of the things he did was had his hair cut. So, yeah, it was fantastic from a brand and PR exercise, as well as obviously the revenue that it generated was great, given how fast and far Bitcoin grew in that time. So cryptocurrency is – I still think cryptocurrency is a space to watch. Like the way we treat money and cash now is so different. Yeah, it's an interesting
place. I can't believe I didn't know that story, Janine.
I think I might have said that on a bus in Vietnam with Nathan. He was like, what?
I've never heard that before.
The big question, Janine, is did you keep the Bitcoin or sell it?
Oh, well, look, we have kept enough for the future, but we did sell quite a bit of it too because it was too tempting not to, have to say.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but
How long has this been going on?
Well, probably, you know, really, really hit a peak about a year, 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago now, actually. But it's been going on. Cryptocurrency has been going on for a good, I'd have to say 7 years at least. So, for example, when we first started dabbling in it, it was very hard to be able to buy it, sell it, and all of the things. It's so commercial now. You can go to a shop down the road from me and actually trade in your Bitcoin. That's how fast it's become quite a commercial reality. So, yeah, I still watch that with great interest. I think the future is cryptocurrency.
Great. Well, I'm going to put a disclaimer into Conversations with Kevin because we're actually answering the question of the key to business longevity that may or may not be Bitcoin. It's okay.
Don't invest all your hard earns in Bitcoin. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's right.
Sorry, I was going to jump in there, Nathan, just say, talk about something that I've noticed lately and that one of my friends has been really successful at within the salon is merch. One of my friends is selling tons of t-shirts and like beanies, hats, posters, all kinds of actual merch that is branded with his salon. He really, you know, took a long time looking at branding and really has built a brand around his salon and has really great images and things on the shirts that people are really drawn to. That's a part of his brand. And he actually was doing quite well in lockdown when they couldn't work selling merch on the store.
Wow.
That's amazing. Mm. And Kate, what do you think?
You know, I'm not allowed to trade Bitcoin in my house. My partner works in finance, so it's a no-no. I'm just gobsmacked by, you know, all of this conversation. But, you know, trying new things is something that we all know to succeed in business you have to do and to be that change maker. And I think it's a really great example. You know, people shift the way they purchase anything, including a haircut. So we know today we need to not just provide great hair, but an overall experience and adapt to client needs, which I think is predominantly what you've done there. And it's amazing. And whether it's in whichever way and platform, you know, you did speak about buying online. That's been a big one too. And not just purchasing online, the experience people have while they purchase your product online, because it's not just about what they're buying, it's about the experience online to purchase that product.
Mm, great. And I think I may have stolen your line before about, you know, but I think it's interesting. So what do you mean about spaces kind of converting in the salon area?
Yeah, so we actually were with a trend-setting agency, and they were really speaking to us about how spaces are used moving forward. And we saw in Los Angeles, Amazon even went into a space and created workstations where you could choose your own music and, you know, everything adapts to you personally. But, you know, in a simplistic way is we see people coming to the salon today with their computers. They want to work. So what do those workspaces feel and look like? I know when I started hairdressing, it was more about that salon experience and the client didn't even really have somewhere to put their coffee. It might have been a side table, where today there's so many more things that we need to think about, like, where are they going to put their computer? How can they work while they're in the space? If they want to make a phone call or a Zoom, how can they do that without interfering the other clients around them? So there's all these different, if they want to order lunch while they're there, how can they do that and where are they going to do it from? Because, you know, a lot of people are busy and this is something they're just one of the things they're fitting into their day.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kate. So we want to look at a little bit of like connection and kind of change and what the industry kind of needs to focus on. I mean, a lot of trouble with a lot of hairdressing businesses is hairdressers think they have to be good at everything. And my biggest life lesson I could give to anyone is if you're not good at it, don't do it. Pay someone else to do it. But what actually, Janine, would you say about like connection and change in our industry?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that the industry is starting to and has needed to focus on for a while is the basics of just doing better business. So not only sort of paying yourself a wage, if you like, or a salary as a salon owner and or making a small profit, but also being able to put aside a handsome amount of funds for a rainy day. Like if we've learned anything over the last 18 months, it's definitely that. And when it comes to connection, you know, there's a greater demand now with between our clients and our stylists and our salons than we've seen ever before. I have to say we've probably never been busier. And I think there's been a really positive shift in the mindset of most stylists, actually, along with salon owners, and they have a greater understanding of the need to actually charge their worth and make it worth their time. And it's really progressing our industry. I think it's such a great shift that has come out of the last 18 months to 24 months. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like all those changes we made in terms of going back this year, the salon is performing better than ever and everyone's working less hours. You know, they're working hard. They're working smart. Yeah. So, Wade, what would you say to that?
I think, you know, one of the biggest changes this year is essentially the way that we actually connect with each other, whether it's from like a work perspective or whether you're connecting with your friends and your family. You know, I personally certainly don't take for granted anymore those face-to-face interactions that we used to get all the time and that, you know, kind of seem so rare. Nath, I've saw you recently, but we haven't seen each other very often this year and I don't like it. And I just think, it's all about that connection. And I think that's a big change this year. And it's been in a good way as well. That means that we don't take those interactions that are face-to-face for granted anymore. You know, you kind of treasure them when you're in the room with someone. And I think for us in our industry, that's basically everything for us. Mm. So whether you're, you know, doing clients or whether it's in education, which I'm primarily in, you know, and getting to influence stylists all over the world, it's much more fun doing it face-to-face.
Great. Thanks. Kate.
So change is the one thing we know we've got to do to survive in business and to be at the top of your game. So ensure you're constantly relevant with your business. Hair taste is obviously important as well, and techniques. I think that one of the key things when you're in a salon is like, who's your target client, and start producing that work and also putting it on social media, the styles that you want to be known for. Because I think that really helps to drive the right clients into your salon and also to be satisfied with what you're actually doing and the type of work you're doing during the day.
Mm, okay. Well, what's your biggest learning this year, Kate?
Oh, honestly, what a year. The biggest thing that I did learn was if there's a chance to execute something, do it. Don't wait. Like we were faced with hurdles this year and I think sometimes we thought, okay, we'll do that next week and then we couldn't. So, you know, that old saying of don't put off what you can do today until tomorrow has never been more relevant.
You do everything yesterday, Kate. What are you talking about?
We're all like, oh my God, but that's just normal for you, Kate.
I try, but like this year I was like, I felt like a few things we could have got done and then we skipped it. So now I'm even worse than I was before.
Kate is lightning fast, listeners. Lightning fast. Okay, what about you, Janine?
Yeah, well, so many learnings. You know, but one of the biggest ones for me this year was sort of around just learning to accept what I can influence and where I can lead and what I can't, taking a much more philosophical about what I can and can't do depending on the environment I'm in or what's happening around me. Whereas I used to get very frustrated by that. Now I just am taking a much more pragmatic approach. And amongst other things, you know, I'm acutely well more aware of having to maintain a financially sustainable business, not just for myself, but for sure. The people in it. And being on top of, you know, mitigating risks and being more adaptable. Just I've really learned to be able to spivot or pivot much faster, you know. And I think that's been a good thing. Yeah.
It's great advice. I mean, lockdown one for me was like, oh, my God, am I going to survive this? And lockdown two was like, everyone's all right. They're taken care of.
Yeah, I hear you. It was good, wasn't it, to move through to that space. Yeah.
That's right. What about you, Wade?
I think my biggest takeaway for the year was like not being scared of change. I think obviously it was forced upon all of us in the last year that we had to change things and the way we did things. You know, I kind of found out about myself that I could learn new skills and I could work and interact with people in a different way.
PowerPoint, anyone?
I learned how to do a bit of PowerPoint. It wasn't as hard as I made it out in my own head either, Nathan.
No.
But, you know, I always try to keep a positive mind and a positive outlook on things. And I think this period for me has been definitely a really good growth period for me, even though there was a lot of challenges. I feel like I personally, I've come out of it the other side a lot better, and I think a lot of people have.
Yeah, great. But, okay, well, let's keep going with you. How have you changed, Wade?
I think for me, it's been, you know, lockdown taught me that I need to look after myself a bit better. Like, I think it gave me a chance to think about, you know, the way I was living. And I used to just sort of say yes to everything and I'd always be, you know, off doing things and saying yes to all this stuff. So I kind of learned to say no a little bit more and do more of the things that I really like to do. And it's really given me a better mindset, and it's also been better for my waistline as well, mate.
Oh, very stoked. No, it's true. I mean, we used to roll from one thing to the other. I mean, and it was just constant. And what about you, Janine?
Oh, yeah, gosh, I'd have to say similar. I've definitely relaxed a lot more. And like Wade, I've sort of, stopped saying yes to everything and put a lot less pressure on myself to get things done. You know, being in that position where things are out of your control quite literally gives you great perspective. So one of the other things for me too, I've become a lot more routine, which is probably the opposite to most. When you're out of routine, I've gone into more of a routine. And in a really great way, I've actually been taking more time out with my family and friends and definitely applying more self-care and healthcare, which has been great.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've probably become more routine focused, which has delighted my Swiss partner. After many years, I'm now beginning to behave in a similar way. What about you, Kate?
Yeah, I think all of those things you've all mentioned, you know, I'm more conscious now about the outcome of why I'm doing things in the bigger picture, like what's the purpose of this? Because I think, again, like Wade said, you say yes to everything or you get some work sent your way and you're just like hammering through it. But sometimes it's not that important and you kind of get a bit like sidetracked with things. So just focused more on the big picture. Life's a lot more balanced, I think, for all of us. We were traveling a lot before and now we're not. So we're more conscious, obviously, of how we spend our time. Obviously, our work's been quite similar. But, you know, for next year, we've been planning a lot and I feel like this year's got us in a really great spot to get super organized and really prepare some great innovations and new products. So it's really made us, you know, back to that big picture, like what's the purpose and what are we working on and why are we doing it? So I think it's been a really great year in a lot of ways.
I'm actually very proud of everything we've achieved at Kevin Murphy and Colour Me Education this year. I think that last year we were like racing to kind of hasten a digital transformation, and this year we've come up with some amazing initiatives and tools that we'll be launching in the new year, guys. So I wanted to move on to creating loyalty, but loyalty is cyclical. I mean, to get loyalty, you need to be loyal yourself. What would you say to that, Janine?
So I'm going to talk about loyalty from sort of a client perspective, and that's one of the things I often say to my stylists, you know, the more loyal you are to them, the more loyal they'll be to you. So 100% agree with that. I think, you know, moving forward, when looking at ways to create loyalty is around having that remote engagement and connection, and really, really building our communities around us. They're all quite key focuses for 2022 and beyond for, well, certainly for me and my salon, but I think for most people in business. And then, you know, integrating our customer experience, so both the online and offline experience, with a real emphasis on making it super easy for them. We want to make it easy and fun for them to be able to do business with us.
Yeah.
Communication, you know, is a massive thing. I think that's definitely one big learning for us this year too. We have not been able to over-communicate. The more we can impart clarity and transparency on what we're doing and what they can expect and how it looks like in here and the way that we engage and entertain our community, really will keep that client loyalty.
I think so. I mean, you know, we're not thinking of them as clients anymore. They're our community, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And Wade, would you like to weigh in here?
Yeah, I think, creating loyalty all comes back to connection for me. So everything's always coming back to connection this year, Nate, as you know. Mm-hmm. Creating those positive relationships with people, whether they're your clients, they're your colleagues, they're your friends and family, when you have those relationships with people, it's going to foster a much greater sense of loyalty, and that's going to mean better experiences for you and them. And, of course, it also means better business.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Like Janine mentioned, you know, when they're not with you, the connection you have with them, not just every 6 or 8 or 12 weeks that they're in the chair. You know, I know that in the past I've gone to gyms and the people who trained you start following you on social media and they start liking things and commenting, and you're always thinking, oh, I've got to go back to the gym. I've got to get connected to that. So I think that as well through salons, you know, that same energy and feeling and that connection. For colour, you know, and coming into the salon, to really create loyalty is about the client having purpose as well. So like, what is the experience I'm creating for my client today? And my client knowing and sharing their wants and needs, and you educating them on how you're going to get there together. So you both feel like you're on a journey together. So this is all about connection. And I think there's so many ways to gain loyal clients. But, you know, that whole hair journey of today I'm creating this and in 6 weeks we can do that. And so they know what their hair looks like, and they're not going to go to someone else because they know that they trust you in, like, understanding what they really want long-term for their hair.
Mm. Yeah. And like, what about our teams? I don't even want to use the word staff anymore, to tell you the truth, Janine. They're our peers in a lot of ways. You know.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I avoid the word staff. I like to think of them team or just colleagues or co-workers. Just to touch on what Kate said there, I think with our teams, that keyword purpose, you know, to keep the loyalty with our teams, we really want to tap into their purpose and their potential. So some of the ways that we can look to do that is offering really great career pathways so they have a good understanding of where they can go and how they can grow with us, providing really sustainable incomes. Like, what does a good, great or excellent income look like for each of your team members? And then really helping them to achieve it, like mentoring and leading them to achieve those key things.
And embracing change as well.
Yeah, so in the salon world right now, I think we need to really look at reimagining the physical space. So I think you and yourself, Nathan and Kate, have both touched on that really beautifully. And the idea of a personal room and stuff is excellent. It would be great to be able to rebuild and make that happen, because we do really need to think about the needs of the people that are in it now. It's certainly changed. And so for our salons, that means not our teams and our clients and what they actually need to achieve while they're in that space on any given day. So one of those things is like definitely getting on board with the hybrid model too, like working within the four walls and ways to work with, beyond them.
Great. And what would you say to change, Wade?
Yeah, I think when it comes to like embracing change is something that you can't get away from it. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever aspect of your life you're talking about, there's always going to be change. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it comes out of nowhere and you don't expect it. And even though it can be scary at first, in my experience, it's always going to lead to growth, whether that's a positive change or a negative change. And I think the earlier that you learn to embrace it or accept it, the better off you are. I find that when change or when something like that happens and there's a big change in your life, I think, you know, taking a bit of a step back, having a think about what it means to you, or also having a think about what it could lead to, is a great way to like begin and start embracing it.
Mm. Yeah, I think especially like what you said, Wade, when it's forced change, I know some of the biggest changes in my life were choices that I actually didn't make, which ended up being the best things I could have ever imagined. So I think that's right. Like change can be so scary, but like the opportunities that come out of it can be way better than you could have even imagined. And, you know, like learning new skills for us this year and just recently, like embracing that, it's really difficult. Like we learned some coding skills and things that we never thought that we would ever be doing. And
hairdressers. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Sign up for hairdressing and your coding.
It was like learning another language, and I'm still stuttering my way through it, but we're creating things that we never imagined that we could. So, you know, I do love change in that regard.
Mm. I had a funny call where, you know, we were trying to do some HTML coding, which I'm fully aware what it is now, but I was calling it Hotmail coding.
Hotmail coding.
Okay, get with your acronyms, like get it right, Nathan. Okay, as we round out this kind of fun podcast for the end of year, I wanted to focus on the importance of giving back. Let's just say what we think about the importance of giving back. Janine?
Yeah, look, I'm all about it, Nathan. And I think, you know, that's one of the key draw cards for Kevin Murphy too. Like we just, as a brand, we do so many things that really, really talk to that. So, you know, aside from it being a really good feel factor, it actually builds a strong community presence. It also increases individual empathy and I think creates a sense of belonging, which people seek even more now than they ever once did, giving everyone sort of a higher purpose than just the day-to-day or just a greater being than just yourself.
Mm. Mm, great.
Yeah, I think when we talk about giving back, I think it's a really great way to keep yourself like grounded and remember what's important in life. And I think one of the best things about it is that you're not only helping out yourself, you're actually helping others at the same time. So it's pretty much win-win as long as you're, you know, really, you know, diving into it and really going for it. I think it's always going to be win-win.
Mm. Yeah. Kate Reed, how do you give back?
Well, gosh. So where do you start? In this industry, there's so many ways to give every day, like the people around you, to grow them, not only as a great stylist, but better people and how to have a better life. And I think, you know, those salon owners that really help to grow their individuals really create that loyalty and bond within their team, and the people don't want to leave. So I think giving back is like, you know, growing a plant with fruit in so many ways. And, you know, at Kevin Murphy, our team does it amazingly with the Key Network. So we all educate our keys. They train out in the field. I think we're so connected to them and how we train them and, you know, hopefully make their salons better spaces with better education and better product offerings, and they can give their clients better services. So, you know, it's just such a circle of life in so many ways. And speaking about that, you know, in November at Kevin Murphy in the US, they did for every product that was purchased online, they planted a tree. So I think we're all so aware and constantly thinking of all the little things that we do that are so important giving back.
Mm. I mean, I think consumers have moved beyond wanting brands to just be ethical. They can see through that now. Mm. They want to see things that are a bit more measurable, transparent and consistent, I think. Like all of the initiatives that Kevin Murphy launched with all that time ago are still there. And we were early adopters, but it's really important now. It's never been more important that we have those long-term strategies as a brand. Team, as we kind of get to the end, and Kate, I love that you called out the keys. I'd like to start with Janine and go to Wade and then Kate again. And just if you have anything else to say as we draw to a close of this end of year episode of Conversations with Kevin, or anything you've been through this year?
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, I think we've all been a lot, and some of it's been challenging, but most of it's been, you know, a real positive. I think so many positives have actually come out of the world that is at the moment. And, yeah, so I just, my sort of key message is just to encourage everybody to embrace everything that is going on and look after oneself and have a fantastic end of 2021 and great festive season.
That's great. I would just say that, yeah, it started out as a bit of a scary year. We thought 2021 was going to be much better than 2020. Where I live, it probably wasn't. But for me, I definitely think it was a big positive. It came out of it, as Kate mentioned before. For me, it was really about learning new skills and learning new ways to work. I feel like I'm a much better person and a much better employee and much better at my job. Having gone through what we've gone through in the last year. So I'm taking lots of positive things out of it, and I'm revved up and ready to go for 2022.
Yeah, 2021 was a great year for me. I, you know, we all had different challenges, but, you know, I really am pumped for 2022. I think the year that we've had has made us all think and prepare on, you know, how to make the most out of life. And I think, you know, we're all positive and looking forward to a really fantastic year next year.
Yeah, I think so. I think 2021 was a year where we looked at ourselves in Kevin Murphy and we went, how are we going to meet the demands of a new world? Like, how do we need to upskill? What do we need to create? And where do we need to go? And I think that we've really travelled a long way in this year. I'd like to thank our keys, as Kate touched on. Without our key network, we are nothing. I'd like to thank all of you for being part of Conversations with Kevin and for listening and being part of our community. We're humbly here serving you. And really, I'd like to say happy holidays and have a wonderful new year. Enjoy it with loved ones, with family, with friends. And this has been Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman. Until next year, take care.